Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Time for a tech talk with the tech contributor for the Business Times. His name is Wong Kai. Is the PC likely to go the way of the dodo? It was once so mighty in industry, but it continues to decline. Industry trackers estimating the PC industry fell 4.6% from the first quarter of last year. Kai, what are some of the stats and who exactly is still holding on to pole position?
So we're looking at obviously a decline across the PC industry. Anyone uses PCs nowadays aside from work? Do you go home? Do you still switch on your laptop?
Don't have one at home.
I don't even use my laptop at home anymore. It's mostly my phone or my tablet.
Really? I need a big screen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, I still do connect it to a big screen, but I mean, that's the extent of that, right?
I mean, why would you need a PC at home, right?
So yes, and apparently the rest of the world thinks so as well, because IDC and Gartner, these two companies which track PC shipments, they've actually agreed on a number of PCs shipped in the first quarter of 2019. Usually these two companies have a little bit of a differing estimate. So 58.5 million in Q1 2019. Gartner says that PC shipments fell 4.6%, and IDC says shipments fell 3%. So just not splitting hairs here, but we're just looking at the general sort of decline year on year of the PC industry. And the top players in this industry are Lenovo, HP, Dell, and Apple, and Asus, and Acer for IDC. For Gartner. Mm-hmm. And for IDC, we're looking at HP, Lenovo, Dell, Apple, and Acer. Mm-hmm. So
I owned all those brands at some point in my life.
I think I have too, actually. Likewise, yes.
Well, what's causing the decline in the PC industry, Kai? I mean, will it ever become what it once was?
So apparently this little decline that we saw here earlier in Q1 of this year was due to a shortage, a CPU shortage. So a shortage of the chip that basically runs your entire computer. And it's also due to competition in competition in the laptop sector from Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. So it's notebooks using Google's operating system. It's the thing that Google controls entirely, so you don't have to worry about like viruses and all that.
I suppose you have one.
I don't.
Okay. If you have one, we all need one.
That's one of the things I don't own.
Okay, moving on. It's emerged that Amazon employs thousands of people around the world to help improve Alexa. Alexa is Amazon's digital assistant. So this team of thousands helps improve Alexa's speech recognition and ultimately help it respond better to commands. So what do they do all day? Do they just speak with Alexa?
So basically, I was just reading this. Alexa, this team of people behind Alexa, they listen to snippets of conversations that people have with their smart speakers, which is in this case, Amazon's Alexa speakers. So the team listens to the voice recordings captured in, you know, in Echo owners' homes, so Echo being the brand of Amazon's smart speakers. Mm-hmm. And these recordings are transcribed, annotated, and then fed back into the software as part of an effort to eliminate Alexa's gaps in understanding human speech.
Wow.
Because I guess now, you know, it's early days, they're still training the AI, even though it's pretty smart, you know. Mm-hmm. Google Assistant, if you talk to it, you know, it can tell you what's the nearest restaurant and whatever. Mm-hmm. But these AIs still have a way to go, like a fair bit to go. So humans are still part of the process.
Okay, so isn't this quite a big privacy violation? I mean, many people don't think of humans as being in the loop when they use their smart speakers.
Exactly. I mean, to anyone who owns a smart speaker, Google Home or Apple HomePod or something like that, mm-hmm. you talk to the speaker and the speaker replies to you. So you imagine that's the long and short of it, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Closed loop, you think. Yeah, nobody else is listening.
Yeah. Exactly, a closed loop. So you talk to the speaker answers you, and you think, oh, no, that's it. No, I'm having a conversation with my smart speaker, weird as it is, but that's about it. But no, so I think, how they're addressing the privacy issues is that they anonymize everything. So according to Amazon, they anonymize all the voice samples that this team hears, and they all sign non-disclosure agreements as well, so not to say anything about the snippets of conversation that they hear.
Okay, so anonymized meaning they can't track it back to who the person is.
Exactly, they can't identify.
Fact is, your conversation is being listened to.
Exactly.
Parts of it.
And it's not only Amazon, it's across the industry as well. So apparently Google says it's the same thing as well, but obviously they all anonymize all the speech that all the smart speakers hear, and even Apple Siri as well.
Well, take that, you people who abuse your smartphone speakers all the time and ask it silly questions.
Yes, definitely. They're getting bored at some point or angry.
One of the most used apps on your phone may soon have ads. Unfortunately, Google Maps reportedly soon to include ads as Google looks to monetize one of its most popular applications. This is going to be awful for me when I'm searching for directions while driving quickly. Is this going to fundamentally change the way we use Google Maps? Am I going to have to pay for an ad blocker?
So I think, well, the way Google makes its money is, you know, number one is through search, number two, through ads. And looking at the bigger picture, the ad market has been slowly being taken up by, of all players, Amazon. So people are looking to Amazon to search for things, presumably because of e-commerce. Mm-hmm. People are looking to Amazon to buy things. And Facebook is also...
It is the world's favorite store.
It is, yeah. Exactly. And Facebook is also a big competitor to Google. Mm-hmm. So they have ads on Facebook, Instagram, all that thing. Mm-hmm. And Google Maps, according to a lot of experts, they say this is not the last frontier, but a large untapped source of ad income. So basically, fundamentally, it's not going to change the way we use it. Now, Google Maps is still going to be free to download and all that. Mm-hmm. But I think going forward, what we're going to see is that we're going to see a lot more paid listings. Mm. So even if you don't search for something in Google Maps, it's going to appear in your search results somehow. Like, for example, you want to search for Korean restaurants, for example. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the top one is going to be, or the top few are going to be paid.
The paid ones.
Exactly, yeah.
How do you think users are going to take to this step by Google?
Yeah, it'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Like when people are searching for things on google.com, you're like, oh, okay, you know, you expect some search results to be sort of paid and all that. Google says the same thing. Now, people are not going to take, they're not going to be too fazed by this, because when you search for things on Google Maps, they are for commercial entities. They are for, you know, restaurants and all that. So people won't be too fazed by paid spots coming up.
Like, right. If it contributes to a better service, like a hot map that
exactly.
is really tailored to what I'm searching for service-wise, then I think it could be a good thing.
Exactly. And I think, well, Google is going to have to deal with some regulatory roadblocks as well. I mean, the European Union is clamping down hard on them for anti-competitive measures. And once they put ads into Google Maps, oh, you can be sure there's going to be a fight there.
Okay, you got a tech tidbit for us today?
Yeah, so today's tech tidbit, let's go all the way back to 2001. Did anyone play FIFA 2001, that football game? FIFA 2001.
No.
So it was a very famous football game. Very
I popular. Watched my brothers play it.
Yeah. On PlayStation,
yeah.
right?
Yes, PlayStation, yeah.
So apparently on the game, at least on the PlayStation version, there was scratch and sniff technology.
Mm.
So you scratch the disc and it had the scent of a football stadium turf on the disc.
Well, I'm glad you couldn't smell like sweaty shorts and sweaty shirts. Well,
sweaty shorts, soil.
Where did you dig out all this information?
Google.
Dr. Google.
Yeah, Dr. Google. Indeed. So, yeah, that was a really interesting tidbit that I found. Like, and
how did pictures, that last long? Clearly it didn't last long, scratch your disc, since disc didn't last long.
No, discs don't last long. And they're telling people to scratch their disc to sniff it, so they just shorten their lifespans immeasurably.
Nice idea, though, this idea.
Very nice idea.
Involving the senses, right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Kai, for all the information you just shared with us right here. This, of course, is Tech Talk on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.